Good morning. I think we have a video for Vacation Bible School next.
The kids seeing the real stories of real kids, they've been relating to them so well and been able to share their own experiences through hearing these stories.
I think it's important for my child to attend a VBS because having that extended summer church life for them and just be able to praise and worship, it's huge. The biggest takeaway for my child from VBS has been his strengthening his knowledge of who God is. That's been huge for our family to see him grow in that.
Speaking of weird animals, they were probably talking about me, but anyway, I get called lots of things, and crazy is one of them. We have a lot of fun at VBS, and one thing we are in need of this year is children. So please invite your children. I know some churches are not having their VBS this summer, so if you know of friends that are going to other churches due to construction or whatever else, and they're not having it, we're not trying to steal people from other churches. We just want to minister to all the children. And this is a great way for the children to get excited about God. And it may seem like we're having a lot of silliness, but we're praising God. And children can praise God in a lot of different ways, even if they're kind of silly and weird. So please invite your children. We start on Monday, and we do feed them. So if they're getting off of work and they need that break because the kids are out of school already 3 days now and they're ready for that nighttime break, this is it. So please encourage your friends and family to bring their children up and join us. And you can come and be crazy and wild too. We won't tell anybody.
Thank you, Drema. Our call to worship this morning comes from Exodus 3, verses 1 through 15. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that, though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
On this Father's Day and on the church calendar Trinity Sunday, we come remembering the Godhead, our Father, as well as our earthly fathers. And this is reflected in our worship throughout the songs we sing and the scriptures that we hear open to us. We come with thanksgiving and we come with sadness. On this Father's Day, one of the questions you see in your bulletin is try to think of the many persons who have been like a father to you, coaches and teachers and neighbors and relatives and mentors. And so we come thinking about those who have been father figures as well as our own earthly fathers, but we also come giving thanks for the Heavenly Father to whom we pray. Would you bow? Loving God, gracious Father, when Jesus talked to you, he used the word Abba, Dad, Daddy, affectionate terms, terms of endearment and intimacy. And so you are to us, calling to us in sometimes the perplexity and chaos of our lives to remind us that we are all loved by you, to call out to us, to say to us, here I am, the God I am is with you. And so we give you thanks in this day. We honor our earthly fathers. We remember them. We are fortunate who can spend time with them and enjoy their presence on this earth. But we also, O Lord, commit them and all our relatives and all of our relationship into your eternal hands for their well-being in this life and in the life to come. And we remember the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We welcome you to this time of worship on Father's Day, on Trinity Sunday, on this special day that the Lord has made. We're glad you're here. If you're here with us for the first time, or if you're visiting back, perhaps with your parents or with friends, we especially welcome you, and we ask that you sign the little information card that you'll see in your pew pocket just in front of you. Drop that in the offering plate so that we might know more about you, and we'd be glad to share more information with you about us. Someone asked me, Dennis, is this your last Sunday? And I said, well, I'm not quite sure. I'll be back next Sunday to welcome Mason Smith, and that will be a wonderful time of transition. And then I'll be gone a Sunday, and then I get to come back when Mason's gone for a previous commitment on July the 6th, which makes me feel a little bit like the pig with a wooden leg. Do you know that story? Some of you do? Well, I'll tell it to you. Farmer Jones had a pig, and the pastor was visiting at his house, and the pastor sees the pig with a wooden leg, and the pig is clearing off the table after dinner. It was just an amazing feat. He said, that's an amazing pig you have. Well, Farmer Jones says, you don't know anything. This pig heard the coyotes out back, went out there and chased away the coyote that was getting ready to eat all the chickens in the chicken coop, and came back in and had dinner with us and cleared the table. he's an amazing pig. And the pastor said, well, he is amazing. Is that how he lost his leg? No, no. The next week, the house caught on fire, and that pig came in and pulled my wife and me out of that burning house and rescued us. And we were able to put the fire out, and thank goodness that we have that pig with us. And he said, well, that's the way he lost his leg. The farmer said, no. Well, how did the pig lose his leg? Well, said the farmer, a pig that good, you can't eat all at once. That was a terrible joke to tell you. My apologies to vegetarians everywhere, but also to say I feel a little like that pig, not because I'm so good, but, you know, it's just not all at once. I keep saying goodbye, and you keep saying goodbye and looking at me like, are you still here? I'm glad to be here for as long as I am needed, but I am so glad and celebrating that Dr. Smith is here and his wife, Kim, and the boys, Wesley and Wilson, are here, and they're with family, I understand, today, and will be here starting Mason's first day in the office, I think, is Wednesday. So I will leave the keys with him today. So in a way, I'm passing the keys on, but I'm very much back with you, and Betsy and I will be praying for you, giving thanks for you, and looking forward to a bright future that you have here with the pastoral family that comes to you this week. We are excited for you. Now, all that is to say, I'll see you next week. And also to ask you to stand and to greet one another with a handshake or a greeting that you choose. Please stand.
Continue to stand as we sing our hymn of praise. It's in your hymn book, number 43, and also on the screen. This is My Father's World.
Like to ask all the kids that are fifth grade and under to come up for children's time. on a very special day for dads. Cool. All right. Good crowd. So how you guys doing this morning? Good Father's Day so far? You've been nice to your dad? Good? Nice things? Did nice things for him? Fed him breakfast in bed? Nice, pretty ties? Things like that? I was thinking about Father's Day this week. I was thinking about all the things your dad does for you. I got some props here about maybe some things that your dad does with you or for you and things around the house every day. Do you ever see your dad with one of these or another tool? What does he do with it? Fixes things. You got dads that are good at fixing things. I'm not real good with this. I'm really good with a plunger. That's probably the tool I use most at our house. But dads use tools to fix things around the house, right? All right. And then I got a car. It's actually a 1990 Honda Civic. I don't know why Hot Wheels makes this in 2014, but I guess it was a really cool car then. So what would your dad do in a car with you? Might fix it, right, with the tools. Or he might jam with the music and get you really excited and happy times, right? Or make you listen to 80s stuff in a 90s car, right? And teach you to sing as you're going. He could teach you to drive when you get older, right? He could take you to school, drop you off, right? Pick you up, take you places, vacation, right? You guys sing? All right. How about this? How about, you know what that is? Everybody's supposed to have one, right? When you're learning to ride a bike these days. We didn't have to have one when we were kids. That's what's wrong with most of us, okay? But you have to have a bike, Kim. Dad can help teach you to ride a bike and make sure you don't fall off and get hurt. Your dad can play ball with you. One of our favorite activities when Claire was growing up was kickball in the backyard. And so we would play all kinds of ball games and stuff. And how about this? A book. Your dad ever read to you? It's one of my favorite books. It's called Who Was Elvis Presley? Really good book. I dress up as him every Halloween, so it's one of my favorite books. But I was thinking about all the cool things that dads do for us. And now think about God, our Father in heaven. What are the cool things that he does for us? He keeps us safe. He loves us. Takes care of it. Let some of the guys answer. I know you guys are smart. Okay? Let some of the guys answer. What else does God do for us? All right? He's like a bicycle helmet. It keeps you safe. That's a good analogy. Right? And we depend on him for things like food and provisions, right, and shelter. You know, God cares for us. And when Jesus was sending out the 12 disciples in Matthew 10:30, he was worried that they would be afraid of all the things and dangers that they would face. And he said, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. He wanted the disciples to know that God cared for them so much that he knew how many hairs were in your head, in your head, in your head. And if one falls out, he still knows how many there. Or if one grows in its place, he knows how many there. That's how awesome God thinks you are as a child. And then God wants... in 1 John 3:1, it tells us God wants to be our Father, and he loves us. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. Now think about that. How many sons did God have? Yeah, well, he had one that we know of, right? Jesus. And for us to be called children of God, what does that make us with Jesus? He's our brother, right? That's a pretty cool thing. It's a pretty cool family to be in. So if God does all these things for us, how do we thank him? We pray. And we do what? We worship him. Read the Bible. Sing songs to him. So how do you thank your father? Your earthly father? You give him hugs and kisses. You love him, right? And you obey him, right? That's an important thing too, right? Sometimes we got to do these things. Well, look, we want to recognize our fathers today, okay? So I want everyone that's a father in here to stand up. And what we're going to do is everybody else is going to give them a big round of applause. And then while they're still standing, we're going to give them all a gift. You guys are going to help me hand out some gifts. There's some picture frames that you can knock out the middle, okay, and put a picture of yourself in it and put it in your refrigerator. Because if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be in it. You know that? And your picture and your picture and your picture. And so it's a really cool gift to give them. They can always see your picture plastered in the refrigerator, okay, like it's not already, right? So let's give them a big hand, and then we'll pass out those gifts. Thank you, guys. Keep standing.
You need to stand.
Give one to your dad and give one to at least a couple of other dads. Okay?
We even had our dad in the first place here.
And give your mom and your dad's hand. Okay? Give one to your dad and give one to a couple of other dads. Okay? So that everybody's sitting.
Thank you, Phil, and happy Father's Day to all the dads and the grandfathers and the great-grandfathers and maybe great-great-grandfathers here. Let's sing our offertory hymn together. It's number 52 in your hymn book, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. Please stand.
you sing, you are praying. And our hymn 605, Because I Have Been Given Much, is a prayer. Because I have been given much, I too must give. Because of thy great bounty, Lord, each day I live. I shall divide my gifts from thee with every brother that I see who has the need of help from me. Let us pray. Our Father, as we give our gifts this morning, help us to shift our focus from what we have to what we have to give away. As we share this offering this morning, we are reminded to give with deeply grateful hearts, well aware of how richly we have been blessed. In your name we ask it. Amen. Our prayer revolution focus for this Sunday is Vacation Bible School. We have been busy for months preparing for this Vacation Bible School, and in the last couple of weeks it has become even more exciting as we've been preparing for what is one of the largest outreach opportunities for children and families. We need the prayer support of the entire church during this week. Please remember our children, the workers, and the new children that will come and possibly visit our church for the first time. Well, I'd like to recognize our 2014 Vacation Bible School team. So if you are a VBS helper, please stand when I call out your team. Snack Supper and Critter Cafe. Some helpers here. Crew Leaders. Bible Adventures, keep standing, you can keep standing, please stand. Decorations, go ahead, Dreamer. Kid Vid Cinema. Spotlight Drama. Opening Sing and Play Stampede. The finale called The Tail End, that's also. Imagination Station Crafts. Good. Games. Publicity. Registration. Media Help. Preschool. Did I leave out anybody? Okay. And the children that are coming. If you are here and you are coming, please stand. Okay. Thank you to all of these helpers. Please continue to stand and the children stand as we pray together. Almighty God, thank you for the opportunity to have Vacation Bible School here at First Baptist Church Elon. And for this church congregation who supports this program every year. Lord, give us sustaining excitement
and energy throughout each day of the week. Help us to prepare well for each day and give us clarity as we teach these children. Oh, you have equipped us all individually with different gifts. Lord, help us to use these gifts in Vacation Bible School for your glory. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to be our helper. And Lord, today as we think of all the plans and the details, may we remember that you are the God of all things possible. Give us the strength as we trust you with all the details. Lord, we pray today for all of the Vacation Bible School workers, snacks and snack supper team, preschool, those crew leaders, publicity, registration team as they greet each person, opening and ending music team, the KidVid Cinema, Bible adventure stories, decorations, spotlight drama, craft time, games, and Lord, please be with the safety of the children during the games. And for every single child that will come into First Baptist Church of Elon this week, this is our opportunity, Lord, to share your love. Help us to plant seeds in these children's hearts, to water seeds that have already been planted, and to help children understand your eternal great love and that it is for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus,
let us
tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer will turning,
and you
know a little fire is burning,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my past seems drear without a ray of cheer, and in a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. Mists of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus,
let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
When you
feel a little prayer will turning,
and you
know a little fire is burning, find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Have a little talk with Jesus,
let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
When you
feel a little prayer will turning,
and you
know a little fire is burning,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus,
let us
tell him all about our troubles. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
That took me back to Union Grove Baptist Church in Caldwell County on Sunday night in the little brown books where we sang those gospel hymns, and you all did it beautifully. You did it justice. Thank you. An unforgettable call. When Grandma called your name, it may have meant that you were in trouble. When Mama called, it probably meant supper time. When Daddy called, it might have been we're going to have some fun or play a sport or we've got a job to do. The call. I remember calling to my three kids when they were in grade school, and Betsy had gone on to a conference. I think she was in California. We stayed behind in Quito during that conference, and I was just about at wit's end, and Mom had been dealing with them all these years about having good manners and not doing things like burping out loud at a meal time. And I decided I'd just had enough of the burping at mealtime, and I was going to teach them with a fun game. So I took them outside the house to sit on the ledge that overlooked the city of Quito. This was at 10,000 feet. Next door was a tienda, a little store. We bought four sodas. They were 7-ups, as I recall. And in Quito, people drank them al clima. They weren't refrigerated. So we had those four drinks. We sat out on the ledge, and I said, "Now I want you to drink at least 5 or 6 sips, and then we're going to have a burping contest." And let me tell you, that was some burping contest at 10,000 feet. If you've ever been at the altitude, you know what that does to you, and warm sodas. And you know, that's one thing that they have never forgotten. I've taught them a lot of sermons over the years. I've taught them a lot of lessons, but they always remember that. And they also remember the time that we drove the car on the sand on the beach and I got stuck and I said that word I wasn't supposed to. They remember that. It's just amazing what they will remember. Many times they remember the good things, perhaps. Phil, I always wanted that bag was good. I would have put another thing in there, a box of Band-Aids for the tools. I always use those when I do some kind of work. The call of God. We read in Exodus that Laura read so eloquently, the call of Moses to set people free. The call of Moses that he received from his father to go and to do something, a job awaiting him. Not necessarily a fun job, but a fulfilling job. In Micah, the prophet Micah was convinced that God had told him and called him to do that which was good. And what was good? To do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Jesus was called to be God's incarnation, to exhibit the love of God the most intimate and ultimate way possible. And then he called to his disciples, and he calls to each of us to do something very important. And that is our scripture reading for this morning from Matthew 28:16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end." The disciples were wondering what was going to happen to them and what was going to happen to the ministry that Jesus had introduced them to over these years that they had spent together. And so they had to sort it out, to hear God's voice calling to them in the changed and new situation. We call that a liminal space. A liminal space is that space of not knowing, and it is that space in which God can call us, and we would need to sort out that calling to discern what it is exactly. The liminal space here is the space between the time Jesus goes and the time Jesus will return. And so the disciples are left. But they are also left with a promise. And what is that promise? I will be with you always. The same promise that Moses had. Moses was called to deliver the children from slavery in Egypt and to lead them into the land of promise. But who was with Moses all the time? The God I am. Here I am with you. Sometimes we seek a place to hear God. Sometimes it's here on a Sunday morning, but often it's somewhere else. Like Moses, it was a bush, or like the disciples and Jesus, it was up on a mountaintop, or it might be a seashore. And I hope that as you go to your places of vacation and rest and encounter and adventure this summer, you'll see that as that kind of liminal space of encounter, that time of discernment when God might reveal to you something fresh and something new. For me, that place of quiet rest and discernment was often the Newton Farm. Betsy grew up on a dairy farm in Vance County. And I can recall, especially during the early years of my ministry, wondering if I was where God wanted me to be, going to that farm and looking over the farm pond where my sons and daughter and I would often fish and watch the sunset over the pond and the beautiful colors of the evening sunset. And I would ponder and talk to God. It was almost like that flaming bush that was burning before Moses. It was as if God was present right there in the beauty of nature. And I would talk to God and try to listen to God and ask God, what are you calling me now to do, given this situation, given the change in this circumstance, whatever that happened to be? And it was in such a place that I could remember the promise of the Apostle Paul, the promise that he said, he who began a good work in you will see it through to its fruition. And I believe that's true for each one of us in this room. For this church, First Baptist Elon, he who began a good work in you will see it through to its fruition. That does take a lot of patience on our part. And as these many people are involved in the wonderful outreach of Vacation Bible School, it is concerning us that things have changed a lot since I was in VBS and the churches were packed out with children. And now we really have to beat the bushes to find our children and say, look, we've got something wonderful here. There's so many things going on, and our situation has changed. But I believe if we are persistent, that if we put forth our best, even if that's just two children who are coming to Vacation Bible School, that God blesses that and blesses us and blesses our efforts as much as if there were 200 or 2,000 children. I pastored a church in Roanoke as soon as we got back from our mission in South America. And that church had been a church of 2,000 back in 1950. But during the 50s and the flight from the city to the suburbs, the church had diminished. And by the time I got there, there may have been 700 members, but maybe only 200 there on a Sunday morning. But I do remember a friend who said to me about that church, Dennis, sometimes God does more with a congregation of 200 than with a congregation of 2,000. And I think that those words ring true to us today as we look at changing circumstances in the church. We wonder sometimes if we're a mere remnant of God's people. But you know, God has used mere remnants. And God began with a little band, a ragtag band, following an itinerant minister called Jesus around Galilee, the hills and valleys and the sea, talking to people about God. One of my mentors, Dr. John Boyle at the Baptist Seminary in Louisville, reminded us that as people of God, as disciples, we give up two options. The option of talking to people about God and the option of talking to God about people. And so, men, when you sang that song, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I think it does make it right. We talk to God as we are also talking to others, fulfilling this great commission to make disciples. Sometimes, however, we don't know what God is calling us to do. We don't know what God is calling this church to do exactly. We'd have a vision statement. We'd have a mission as a church. But there are specifics about that call that we need to heed. And we wonder, how do we do that? And I think that those resources are right here with us. Anytime God calls us, we try to submit that to a number of questions that might help us understand more fully what it really means to be called by God. Now, something that's helped me, you may have heard of John Wesley. Some of you are Methodist, aren't you? You're really Methodist. I know some of you grew up. You know who John Wesley is, and most of us have heard that name or know something about him. There was a method of discernment of God's truth that he introduced. It was called the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. Now, those of you who are not math majors like me, let's just say it's a Wesleyan rectangle, okay? We know that. Okay, let's draw that rectangle. And Wesley said to discern God and discern God's truth, God is in the middle of that rectangle, if you will. You've got four corners that will assist you in understanding what it means to find God's call. And that's the way I'm framing it today. God's call for your life, for the life of this church. Now, how do we know that call? In one corner, we have logic. Well, no, let's start with the scriptures, the Bible. The authority, the Reformation basis for our faith, our understanding. The Bible, the authority of the Bible. And there it is. Jesus says, in going, and that's the way the Great Commission should be translated. It is a participle. In your going, whether you're on vacation, whether you're on business, whether you're out in the community, at work, at school, in your going, your task is this: make disciples. That is the force of that sentence, that verb, make disciples. That's the imperative. That is the biblical authority of our calling. And all of us are called. Some of us are called to special tasks of leading church, of preaching, of singing, of leading music, of working with youth and what have you, of being on mission, of being chaplains. But all of us, each one of us, has a universal calling to follow the ways of Jesus, to come to Jesus, to repent of our sins, and dedicate our lives to the following of Jesus Christ. So that is the biblical authority. And we claim the Bible as being that which guides us and helps us to understand as we base all that the Bible says upon the criteria of Jesus Christ, who he was and who we know him to be through the scriptures. Now, in the other corner, we will have, let's say, experience. We have our own personal experience as Moses did. Ours is different from Moses. We were not abandoned in the bulrushes and the river in a basket. We were not a part of Pharaoh's entourage of his court. But we all are called through our experiences to use those experiences in a special way, to discern them, to allow them to move us personally into areas of new growth and new discipleship, but also to propel us into areas where we might share, sharing with the children in Vacation Bible School, for example, to make disciples of children through this wonderful tool. And as I saw the people standing, each of you who will be involved, I knew that you were giving something of your experience, of your expertise, and those others of us who may not have so much expertise can also give through our support, through our time, through our ability to be here if we're needed to open the doors, whatever we are able to do. Now, in that rectangle, we've got, experience here, and we've got Bible authority over here in this corner. In the bottom corner, we have logic. The question, is this in the realm of possibility? Is what God is calling me to do in the realm of possibility? If God is calling me to be a doctor, young person, or nurse, fireman, pastor, is it possible that I can do that? Moses doubted his calling because as a leader, he couldn't speak very well, he thought. But you know, with practice, I think he got pretty good. And he knew something about group dynamics and interpersonal relationships, which sometimes are more important than the ability to articulate. But God was able to help him fill in the deficiencies because he was willing to see a need and he was willing to listen to God's call. And that is a great, great gift. A gift of logic. Is it in the realm of possibility? Can I do it given the circumstances and the resources that are available? And then in that rectangle in the bottom corner, the last corner, is tradition. Now, sometimes tradition holds us back. Oh, I can't do that because women have never been preachers before. Oh, I can't do that because nobody in my family has ever been on mission or a missionary before. Oh, I can't do that because the sight of blood scares me and I could never be a doctor or a nurse. But sometimes we need to break free of traditions. Other times we need to claim traditions and the value that they can be for us as they inform us. For example, this table around which we will gather in the next month or so as a church and have the Lord's Supper is part of a tradition that connects us to the very roots of our faith, that connects us to a history that could recall, even without the written scriptures, events that took place. Jesus at the table, the baptism in the waters where Jesus was baptized himself and where others were baptized over the years in his name. Tradition that begins to link us to who we are, to what we are about. And as we remember that each one of us is called, each one of us is commissioned, I think it's very important to keep in mind that the linkage of calling to of our calling to follow Jesus with the commission to love one another, the commission to and commitment, the great commandment of loving others as God has loved us, to love others as we love ourselves. The mission of the church and our mission and our calling cannot be separated into a calling for laity and clergy. It is the calling for all of us. And as Dr. Smith comes next week, this week on Wednesday, he doesn't come here to do ministry for you. He comes here to minister to you and to minister with you. We believe in the priesthood of all believers, and we believe that we can minister to Dr. Smith and his family as they minister to us. And I recall being absent from you and how gracious you were to say, even as an interim, yeah, we understand that you need to be absent for a medical leave for a while, and you were gracious to minister to us. We got cards, and we knew that we were in your prayers, and we talked to you, and you encouraged me along the way to recovery. And as I had the opportunity, I was able to visit with a few of you from time to time and encourage you along your way to recovery as well. And that's what that calling is about in the church. That's why it is such a beautiful experience to be part of a congregation and a fellowship like this one. We can minister to each other, helping each other along the way. And that is our calling, our mutual calling. Now, for Moses, there was a sign. He had to be convinced by a burning bush, a rod that turned to a snake, and by a voice shouting at him. But in the end, I believe it was the still small voice of God's promise in verse 12. Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you in that task. You know, I think that's the promise we have. In whatever our calling is, in our not knowing what our calling is, as well as our determining what our calling is or following what our calling is, there is the promise of God I will be with you. So as your pastor comes next week, know that the Lord is going to be with him and with his family, but also with this church. And that God is with Betsy and me as we begin to move on out into other aspects of ministry and mission. As Jesus called his disciples, and as he calls each of us, he calls us with the promise, "Lo, I am with you until the end of the age, until all time." As God says to Moses, "The God I am is with you." Perhaps we can say to God, "Here I am, Lord, here I am." Would you pray with me? Lord, help us to hear your calling. You have a purpose and a mission for each of us, individually and corporately. Let us come to you in faith. As you have come to us to forgive us of our sins, may we go to others with the good news that you love them too. May we proclaim your calling to follow Christ and your commission to make disciples who do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God. In your name we pray. Amen. We sing our hymn of response, hymn number 55, "Children of the Heavenly Father." I will be at front to receive any who would come to unite with our church, to profess your faith, to follow Jesus in baptism. Would you respond as God leads you as we stand together and sing? Commend you for singing that. Sometimes the new hymns that we sing that fall fresh on our ears are very special to us. Yes.
I'm interrupting his service. He doesn't even know about this at all. The Deacon's Methodist week, and we're so very grateful for everything that Dennis has done for us. We're also so very happy that Nathan is coming this week. We also feel that we need to honor another person, and that's David Dillon, who has held the church together for the year. I mean, if you imagine, Mark left at the end of June, and we've had a new music come, we've had interims, two interims come, and David has been constant. So Sunday after next, last Sunday in June, will be David Durham Sunday. And we would like for you at the church to write personal notes to him, if you will, and say thank you. And if you would, please give those to one of your deacons. There will be some in your Sunday school class next week, so we know not everybody goes to Sunday school. So take a moment, if you will, and just tell David thank you. We really appreciate what he's done for us as well.
Amen. Please do that. And also, before you leave, one other important announcement. Since Susan is not here, but I have it, I know all of you will want to go to a ball game in July. So the Burlington Royals, this is a fellowship opportunity for the church. Gates open at 6 p.m. Saturday, July 12th. Picnic will be at the first base shelter. All you can eat, ball game food. Fireworks will come afterwards. Hey, that sounded good. The kids are getting excited already. Sign up in your Sunday school class or in the communication center to attend. That communication center is the foyer, right? Is that where it is? I don't know where it is. It's, where's the communication center? In the foyer? You can sign up there. Okay. And you've got to do that. Tickets will be available next Sunday to purchase. Next Sunday. So please keep that in mind. Now prepare to receive our benediction. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warmly upon your face. May the rains fall gently upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. Amen.